Buckle up for the most informative, most exciting 5 minutes of your drab and wretched lives. Let's find out what's coming up for the UK in the war for number 10. In the United Kingdom, just less than 2 months from a general election, civil servants are in charge. Has there been a coup? Has there been a collapse of parliamentary democracy? Has David Cameron gone off on holiday and declined to leave the kids in charge? No, there is a purdah, a quintessentially British invention in the sense that its origins are Greek and the name is Indian, which means no pissing about with the trappings of government in the middle of an election campaign. Until election day, most government departments in the UK will just keep things ticking over. No big spending announcements, no big appointments, just Belgian-style government, long lunches and playing cards between departments, where the stake is either whatever Ed Miliband raises with the mansion tax or 50 pence, whichever is worth less. The good news is that the majesty and glory of parliamentary democracy is about to swing into action for the safe and calm handover of power from one government to the next. Or so Ed Miliband hopes. In the United Kingdom, the possessor of the fifth most hardcore military on the planet and the creator of Roland Rat, there is no swapping of nuclear launch codes or 2 long months of transition government. In the UK, if a Prime Minister loses an election, as soon as the monarch so much as nods at the leader of another party, the civil servants box the has-been stuff up and tell him to sling his hook with a quickness. Then the new chap sits down to write a letter to the 4 Trident submarine commanders, telling them whether or not to blow up the world if they can't hear Radio 4. All the signs are looking good for bookmakers and whoever sells ads on Meg Smithson's website, and fairly dreadful for Nick Clegg and whoever puts together the listings in the Radio Times. Nobody knows what is going to happen between the semi-sentient basket case in charge of the Labour Party,
Ed Miliband,
and the condom stuff with spam,
David Cameron,
in charge of the Conservatives. Still fewer know what's going to happen to UKIP, led by Arf Garnett and Tweed,
Nigel Farage,
or the lunatic fringe Green Party, led by an Australian journalist with the numerical skills of a kid with 3 fingers trying to learn base 13.
Natalie Bennett.
In Scotland, it's looking good for the Scottish National Party, led by the latest in a series of people with surnames like Fish,
Nicola Sturgeon,
against the Labour Party, now led, somewhat belatedly, by a teetotal iron brew guzzling former president of the National Union of Students, who disappears when he turns sideways,
Jim Murphy.
To be clear, Conservatives will also be standing in Scotland, but it's more to make sure we have ringside seats at the count centres, where Labour expects a bloodbath. The UK parliamentary election system is untroubled by first counts and transfers, and all that other gubbins associated with proportional representation. Voters in the UK draw an X in the box beside the name of the person they want to be elected, and whoever gets the most X's wins the seat. The leader of the party with the most seats counts them up to see if they exceed 325. If they do, they have a majority and will be asked by the Queen to form a government. Simple. Or it would be if any party had a snowball's chance in hell of getting 326 seats. The polls currently suggest that Labour and the Conservatives are neck and neck, which would give Labour a few more seats than the Conservatives, but not a majority. You need a majority, not just to get legislation passed, but to survive a motion of no confidence, after which, traditionally, prime ministers resign or get turfed out by their own party. It currently looks like the balance of power would be held by the smaller parties, the SNP in Scotland and Liberal Democrats being chief amongst them, although the DUP, SDLP, Plaid Cymru, UKIP and Greens all fancy some of that holding government to ransom action. Before the politics, though, the wave of politics. Manifestos are due out soon. The fervent hope is that the Conservatives will not bring out a hardback picture book like the last time, and that the Labour Party will continue with their theme of using slogans with ambiguous meanings prone to Photoshop abuse. The Liberal Democrats are not expected this time to sign anything on big billboards. The Green Party's manifesto of 2015 is indistinguishable from the monster-raving Loony Party's plans from 1997, but seems to lack the political nous, intellectual depth or credibility. They seek a lot of stuff to ban. UKIP will be saying things like, "Oh, you can't trust them," in a bizarre effort to ensure that the only party offering the referendum which could result in UKIP's key historical political ask being met doesn't get itself elected. It's likely Plaid Cymru will publish a manifesto nobody outside Wales can read or find themselves even slightly interested in, although they might just confound critics by riding the SNP nationalism wave. To wit, the SNP is having its manifesto ghostwritten by groundskeeper Willie. The DUP, the only party to own more union flags than celebrity Welshman Nick Griffin, will say things like, "We are not Sinn Féin," and that should work out well for them in places where not being Sinn Féin is the primary qualification for a candidate seeking election. Finally, we will see if the SDLP, led by finally we will see if they are destined for continued existence or the scrap heap of history. So at the end of it all, who will govern the UK? Nobody knows. I'm predicting a Conservative minority government with confidence in supply and a repeal of the Fixed Term Parliaments Act. I'm also expecting a new general election in 2017. That's it from this edition of Who Governs. It hasn't shed any light on anything at all, but, you know, it passed a bit of time for you on the train or whatever. Stay tuned. Peace out.